And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First in Galatians chapter 3, verse 15, hang in there, Paul uses an everyday example to help people grasp the distinction between God's promises and the law. The promise granted to Abraham is considered an irrevocable agreement, meaning that once God makes it, a promise, once he makes that, it remains unchangeable throughout the universe. It's essential to reiterate that the Bible is replete. It's just unbelievable with corporate and personal promises from God to his people. By the way, if God made you a promise and it's from God, get it? So it's crucial to discern whether the promise genuinely comes from God or merely stems from our own wishful thinking. If God made you a real promise, it will really happen, period. Next, the argument goes like this. You can't change a will once the person has died, even though in today's courts, many have attempted to do so, but certainly from an unrighteous point of view. God gave a promise to Abraham and his descendants, but the specific promise was that to his individual seed, singular, meaning the biggest blessing to all the nations that would come through the single seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. And that's what people miss. It's like we get to be blessed, yes, as his descendants, but there's one particular seed of Abraham that blesses the world. And finally, the next logical question is why God gave the law 430 years after giving the promise to Abraham? It's a great question. Like, why would you give the law when you gave Abraham the promise? Paul addresses this in verse 19, stating that the law was given to show people their guilt and serve as a tutor, showing that apart from Jesus, we're all in trouble. The law also established that the coming of the child to whom God made the promise would follow after the law. Thank you, Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Don't forget politics, poly, many, ticks, blood-sucking insects. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. We're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. Yep, you can do it anytime you want, 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. That's fun, too, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
And I told you we were streamlining some of these, so here's one for the streamline because I like it so much. Talking to Dynamite D is like sharing a cheat meal on your diet with your favorite person. I happen to like that one.
That reminds me of the text I sent you this weekend.
Yeah. You want to tell everybody the text you sent me? Go ahead.
I was inspired by the spirit or just random, but I said, David, you might have a cheat meal this week, but don't go too crazy on it. He sent me like a thumbs up. I said, he's going to have a cheat meal with that.
So he's right. It's like, I think he was saying, hey, I know you're going to, you know, you're going off your diet here for a little, but try not to veer off like you're a Mack truck going off of a freeway kind of thing. It's like, oops.
Did you veer off?
Yeah. A little bit.
Slightly.
Yeah, slightly. You're good. You're slightly. Let's say somewhere about the difference between, you know, a train and a steamboat kind of thing. Anyhow, it was still, we had a lot of fun this weekend. So anytime I hang out with Noelle, it's great. So, but, you know, she works so much. It's like, ugh. We'll talk about that another time. All right, let's get into this. If you've got a prayer request, this is a fantastic venue to take advantage of that. Bring your faith. We'll take our faith. We'll combine faith. We'll petition the Lord. We'll ask for help. I mean, how just plain and forward is that? That's just right. Two or more, and there's a lot more than two or more, and we'll bring it up before the Lord. We'll offer it in faith and high expectation, but also in submission, like Jesus did at the Garden of Gethsemane. And we will make sure that we bring it before the Lord with thanksgiving regardless, because he's worthy of all praise. That's one. If you've got a praise report and you've got something you want to share, that the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And it's superbly important for us to, what's the word I'm looking for? Grasp that we need to say thank you more often. And that is just a truth. All of us do. We need just to be more of a thankful people. Not just saying thank you, but being thankful. And so the difference between that is you say thank you, you think you're done. When you're being thankful, it's in your heart. So you not only say it, you live it, you walk it. That's a huge, huge difference. Pwah, isn't that a good one? That's just a good right there. You can't get thankful versus saying thank you. No,
that's,
no.
That's back-to-back good ones. Yeah. I wrote that one down, and I love what you just said, Dave.
That's just like, how do you? Because we do that. We just say thank you, and we think that's enough. It's like, you imagine if God did that with us? And I give you that. That's enough. He never does that. All right. Okay, so what I'm trying to general capacity. All right, so we also do Bible trivia, and Bible trivia is fun. We like Bible trivia. It's great to get our brains in the right places and know what the scripture has to say, right? I mean, it's so important, right? So let's try this one. Not overly difficult. I think you guys will get this. Many of you have heard this multiple times, but there's a reason we do multiple times. On the day of Pentecost, how many followers of Jesus were present in the upper room? How many followers of Jesus were present in the upper room? Is it 120, 140, or 110? Now, the one thing you can figure out by what I just said is it's over 100, isn't it? Okay, I'm just saying. But these are the people that were gathered together in the top room, in the upper room. 120, 140, or 110? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? So those are the options on the trivia question. That is what we're asking. So it's 120, 140, or 110. You almost feel like you should hike a football with that or something. I don't know. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA because we want to stay faithful and diligent about our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Daily. I mean, it's just like the Daily Planet with Superman. You know, it's like the whole thing. I'm just saying, just daily, daily, daily. Okay, and that's DC, by the way. Daily. Okay? Spend time with the Lord. How long? I don't know. Start it off and see how long he wants you to hang out with him. That would be my answer. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. I promise you, we had this question yesterday from Ronnie. I didn't go back into it too deep, but I did do some extra study because I like to do that kind of thing. And I could tell you almost verbatim all the phases, but the phase we're in right now is the most important phase you need to recognize, and that is persecution for the church, persecution for the church, persecution for the church. And there will also be a large amount of apostasy that will take place. So you should probably keep aware of that, that some people who profess Christ will abandon Christ as it gets tougher, right? And Jesus said, those that endure to the end will be saved. So, okay, got to hang in there, right? And the people that are going to bail are people that are ashamed of Jesus and his words. There's no way around it. So don't be ashamed ever. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I come. Oh, boy. That's not good. And then A, so that's our D. That's on at the N for DNA. And then here's the A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. OPM, other people matter. Okay? I know it was a movie, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the reality that Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. And this is after the summation process of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbors, love yourself. A new commandment I give you, John 13, 34, 35, love one another as I have loved you, which is significantly greater than we can love ourselves or our neighbor. That's the command. They're supposed to love the brotherhood that way. Other people matter. Carry their burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay? All right. Back to the triv question. I'm just rolling today.
I love it, Dave. I feel like it's like a fun day to use.
Yeah, it's just something going on. Okay. Well, whatever the Lord wants to do with. They have to add that in there for people that get mad that I didn't do enough of that. Doeth. Okay, here we go. The question, on the day of Pentecost, how many followers of Jesus were present? Your reference is Acts 1:15 specifically, and it's not wrong to look it up. I just don't really want you to Google it. It's not that I have anything you can look. It's just I want it to stick. I want it to retain. I want it to have some sticking power. How many followers of Jesus were present? Was it 120, 140, or 110? There is an answer in Acts chapter 1, verse 15. If you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay.
Now, Dave, really quick question before we get into the word. Yep. What is that upper room theologically? What was that for?
Okay, so in the old – not the old, but in the earlier times, so this is one of the things that we won't – I can't go too deep into, but I want you to picture it. So in their houses, what they did is you know how we have a garage in some houses and then – it's usually to the side of the house, right? Well, back in the earlier days, they had like garage type things, more storage and animal stuff on the bottom floor. And then the second floor was the living conditions. So the bottom was more business storage. It was for cattle. It was for animals. You know, it was kind of, I don't want to say barn-like, but you bet it was barn-like. And they had still had barns, but the bottom was like for more of the precious, more important, or more needful animals that need to be serviced, plus other storage elements. And then the top floor would became the social, the upper room became the social, like the living room, the bedrooms, and so on and so forth. And then the roof was actually also a functional, unlike us, because in our society, you can't even ride a bike without a helmet. But that's besides the point. Back then, on the roof, that was actually a part of their structure, and they would go on the roof, okay? And you see it in movies every so often, and it's you know, cute the way that they do it, and sometimes they'll show New York, and they'll show these. But back then, roofs and people on roofs, that happened a lot. So, I mean, it's just like – so that's where the upper room comes in. It's that place where they were together. And, in fact, this number, by the way, they were in prayer. They were in communion. They were connected. They were unified.
You know, it was a lot of power up there, Dave.
Oh, and just think – you cannot take this away. And it's worth stating. You don't have to go to the test. It's really worth understanding this. It's not just for you yourself – but you and your relationship with the Lord, you and your relationship with your spouse or with your children or with family or with your brothers and sisters in the faith, which is essentially absolutely critical. They were together. And so that togetherness, that shows a unity. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verse 4 was, you would definitely understand it as a new age, a new element that the Lord has brought upon people, because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was present, but not the same level of outpouring. Now, the Holy Spirit's being poured out like a flood, like, you know, like instead of it being a cup, now it's gallons and gallons and gallons is how you need to think of it. And they were united. Now, listen to this. Remember in this, listen, this is why these connections are so cool. So listen, in the Tower of Babel, they were one mind and one accord, and they spoke the same language, and God said they can do anything, it'll get done. And so what God did was he poured out languages, but those languages spoke separation, whereas the languages that were poured out in Acts 2:4 spoke different languages of unification, all to the glory of God. It was the undoing of the Tower of Babel, in a sense, because it brought about a unity in the framework of faith that reached all different nations.
Wow.
How's that?
That's pretty great.
How's that not worth a dollar? I don't know.
Right. We're such biblical nerds that we love that.
But it's so cool. It's like, how is that not cool? It's like, oh, that is like amazing stuff. All right. Well, should we give the trivia answer or just break? Because we can give people a chance.
I think we should give it, Dave.
All right, let's give the trivia answer. So the trivia answer, the question was quite simply, on the day of Pentecost, how many followers of Jesus were present in that upper room? And the answer is 120. So 120 were there, and I've always thought this to be amazing. This is just one of those secondary comments that hardly anybody mentions, but it's where my brain goes. It's the problem that I have in doing all the stuff I did before I became a Christian. But it's like, so they're speaking in tongues, they're in the upper room, but for everybody to, and then there was a powerful wind that took place, and then there people come are gathering around, and then they hear them speaking in their own languages the great things of God. But they had to go from the upper room to the lower room. So I just, my brain thinks, I wonder what that walk was like.
Drunk in the spirit.
They're speaking in tongues as they're walking from floor two to floor one out there. It's just like, wow, that's just weird. I just think stuff like that's bizarre. All right, I'll take my break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This is one of the first verses in my Christian faith that I learned. Which is, you know, you don't think about it, but when I first became a Christian, people would share this verse with me. I didn't know why. I was going to find out why, because God was going to set me free from a lot of drug use, but I didn't know then what was going on. I was like, oh, I keep hearing this verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So now in our society, you say the word slavery and people start going, and then everybody starts freaking out. You know what? We're never going to change what the gospel is, and the gospel is the reality, the truth. We're not going to alter it for culture. We're not going to say it differently so people aren't offended. If you're offended, turn the radio off, okay? That's your answer. You've got fingers. Use them. Here's our – you got the ability to turn it on. You got the ability to turn it off. Here's the bottom line. Every one of us, before Jesus Christ, was in bondage to sin. Every one of us. Now that we are in Jesus Christ, we are free from the penalty of that sin, and the Lord is working in us the process to overcome that sin practically. We've talked about it multiple times. You understand salvation from a little bit of a, you know, multiple scripture point of view. Scriptures talk about salvation being past tense. Scripture talks about salvation being present tense. And scripture talks about salvation being future tense. But the only way that could happen is if, watch this, salvation is past tense, present tense, and future tense. See, it's the only way it can happen is because that's what it says. And so in that, we need to understand that from the past point of view, we are free from the penalty of sin. Yay! Currently, we're going through what is called sanctification, where we're being delivered. We're delivered from the power of sin, and we're learning in our own lives we don't have to live for sin. And then eventually, when we're with the Lord forever and ever, we will be free from the presence of sin, and there won't be any evil, any bad, any yucky. Okay? Cool. In the meantime, while the justification, while the penalty for sin is done, while the freedom is there, the sanctification process is the one where he makes you look like Jesus, now that he's pronounced you to be like Jesus, and that's the one you got to fight through. That's the one that you have to go, you know what, I'm free. I just don't have to do that. I don't have to. That, therefore, becomes a responsibility. Because the scripture says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, which means that you can. But if you do, it'll be your choice.
The David Spoon Experience.
Amazing grace, how sweet. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Also, we're online, so if anybody's listening across the country or from K-Bright, we say howdy. Okay. I'm not very Texas-y that way, but
yeah, I was like,
what do you want from me? You know, it's
like that was a little interesting.
I had cowboy boots when I lived in Arizona. Does that matter? Okay. I did the best I could. All right, we got our trivia question. Then I want to share something. A brother and a sister sent me a message about their business. I'm going to talk about that in just a split second. But first, I'm going to open this up with a trivia question. This is a pretty straightforward question. Most of you will get this. Now, remember we talked about major prophets and minor prophets in the Old Testament. So major prophets and minor prophets has to essentially do with the length of their prophecies, not the position or quality, though the great length gives them a lot of room. So in the major prophets you have, the breakdown goes Isaiah, Jeremiah, who also wrote the book of Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. They're considered the major prophets, and then the minor prophets are the rest of the Old Testament, and anywhere ranging from, you know, half a page or half a chapter, so to speak, to about 13 or 14 chapters or so, but the other ones are in the, you know, much higher range. This is in the answer is in the major prophets. So you have a 1 in 4 chance of getting this right, although you shouldn't have to really guess, but it's okay if you do. Okay, here you go. Which prophet, major prophet, pretty good, Al, predicted or declared a new heavens and a new earth? 2 times. So, between Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, which one talked about the new heavens and the new earth twice? Not even once. Twice! If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. By the way, that is also in 2 Peter. Text in 214-210-8483 is the text, and then david@hemusincrease.org. That would be the email. Which Old Testament major prophet predicted or made mention of or talked about, actually it's prophesied, that there would be a new heavens and a new earth 2 times? Okay, was that Isaiah? Was it Jeremiah? Was it Ezekiel, or was it Daniel? Okay, there you go. All right, now, we're going to do something a little different because I want to.
Because we're different.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, yeah, I should tell you. So if you do know the answer, by the way, 972-445-0770. I can say it slower because I say it really fast because I'm trying to get stuff done. 972-445-0770. Okay. That's the number you would call. If you want to reach us, you can text 214-210-8483, or you can send us an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So let me tell you a little bit about this story. So there is a couple, and their name is Jim and Cassandra. Okay? Jim and Cassandra. Sent me a kind of a message through our, you know, we have our little message thing, and people can message me. They can do prayer requests. They can do praise reports, whatever the case may be. And they've got a new business, and they're excited about it, but they're struggling a lot. So I thought, and they're like, you know, is there any way we can advertise? So we don't really do advertisement. You know, we kind of do sponsorship. I mean, I do the thing for my son because he's my son, so it's a little different. But... And then that way, if it's bad, I can interject my existence as a father. Okay, you just say that. But they have a business. I'm going to share what the business is and give you a chance just to listen. If it applies to you or something down your realm, fantastic. But if not, then you could be praying for them. You know how we're praying for one another, and they're just like, hey, we really need some help. We're really struggling against this, and things are kind of up against the wall for us. So that's why I'm kind of talking about this, okay? So, again, this is Jim and Cassandra. Now, the name of their business, so just listen carefully, is called Rambler Rose Cabins, okay? Rambler, you know how I do my rambling man thing? Rambler, R-A-M-B-L-E-R, Rambler. Rose, okay, which is actually the name of my great-grandmother, Rose, R-O-S-E, cabins, like C-A-B-I-N-S. And what they do, here's what they do. I'll just make it real simple. They just opened their business. They're on a new lot, and they just want the word spread out. They do storage sheds and barns. Okay? Storage sheds and barns. They do cabins. Okay? If you're only 3 inches tall, they do tiny homes. Okay, that 3 inches part was a joke.
That might be for me.
They do garages, they do run-in barns, and horse barns. So they do a lot of stuff, right? Storage sheds and barns, cabins, tiny homes, garages, run-ins, and house barns. Now, two ways to get in touch with them, and regardless, you can be praying for them, right? Rambler Rose Cabins. You can text them at 817, or you can call, text or call. Hey, that's a nice way to do things. 817-617-7616. So let me say it again slowly. 817-617-7616. You can also go to RamblerRoseCabins.com. Don't do what I did and add two B's on cabins because I don't know how to spell because that took me nowhere. RamblerRoseCabins.com. Check out their site. If it has got application for you, check them out. Give them a holler. Regardless, let's pray for them. And I'm going to pray for them right now and have you join me and just ask the Lord to help them because they're up against it and they're Christians and they're trying to make it right and do it right before the Lord. So we want everybody to get help. So let's pray. Father, we come before you right now and we lift up Jim and Cassandra to you and their business. And we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would open doors for them. Open opportunities for them. You're the king, Lord. You're not in a financial crisis, and you've got your kids covered. We're asking you to extend that generosity that you've manifested to us 1,000 times for Jim and for Cassandra and their business. And instead of them being frustrated or feeling like at the end, we actually pray that you would encourage them that brothers and sisters are aware, praying, and asking for grace to be given unto them. And that would be the biggest comfort they ever get. We ask you to bless them in their business, guide them, and let them use the business to glorify your name. Trying to do the right thing, that is awesome. But let the business be used to glorify your name and bless other people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay.
I think that's a beautiful thing, Dave. I think last week the Spirit spoke to me about the importance of godly businesses. Businesses where the owners believe in him. And I think as the days grow old, we're going to have to really pray for those type of businesses in general.
Yeah. And I think that's it's a couple of things. I've thought about spotlighting different businesses and people. See, we don't really do the advertisements per se. So if anything comes of it and anything they get helped in anything or anything moves forward for them, I told them, it's not a fee based or anything. Just, you know, if the Lord puts on your heart, donate to the ministry. So just how we're going to do everything. So if you got something going on, it's up against the wall, just send me a message. Don't worry about it. Say, well, I don't want to be just asking for help. The whole point is to help one another. Our whole existence is Hebrews 10:25, that we encourage one another as we see the day of the Lord getting closer and closer. Well, guess what? I don't know if you've looked outside lately, but it's getting pretty close, right? And if you think it's bad now, I just want to point this out. They're already coordinating. I'm just letting you know, don't get mad at me, where people cannot use their financial institutions if they don't agree with quote-unquote woke theology. It's like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I better start learning to farm because that ain't happening.
Hey, pretty much.
That's not happening. So my whole point in that premise is for us to really be taking care of one another, really praying for one another, really covering one another because we need to. It's like, well, these guys, if they're listening, well, I mean, I know Cassandra's heard the show before. I don't know anything else other than they're brothers and sisters in the Lord, and they're trying to get it before the Lord.
But think about it, Dave. Just like you said, you and your wife were giving to the various ministries. To me, that is a form of giving. Just shouting them out, helping them out, is carrying one of those burdens. So we can't forget that as well.
That's right. Exactly right. So, all right. Good point. So I wanted to take that time. So we're not going to really get into the teaching yet because we'll have to, you know, it's just what we do. But believe me, I got so much teaching in my left ear that my right ear is going, be quiet, Be quiet, Dave. Okay. All right, let me just finish up on the triv on that one, because I don't think we didn't finish that, right? Okay. Which prophet predicted or talked about a new heavens and a new earth? And that would be out of the first of the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. That would be Izzy or Isaiah, who mentioned it both Isaiah 65 and 66.
That was my first answer, and I changed it to Daniel.
See, that's what happens, because I would typically have thought Daniel, if somebody had said that to me. I happen to know these passages, but and then I probably would have went to Zeke. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
He's like, that's all that. But it's like Isaiah is the one that makes reference, and 2 Peter is where the reference goes back, so that's where the connection is. It was Isaiah, new heavens and new earth. And by the way, that's not new, a new principle or a new concept. And while everybody's trying to bandage the old one, I want a recycled donut. Hey, you know what? I don't want a recycled donut. I want a fresh donut. It's as simple as it gets, folks. It's not more any complex than that. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
You don't know what's going to happen in 1 minute, let alone 1 hour from now. And God, who it's impossible for God to lie, has made this commitment, made this offer, made this opportunity to both you and me and all of us around. The simplicity is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of that sin, the wages falling short, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God, demonstrating his love for us, sent Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There is nothing more important than that principle right there. The hope that is offered to believers who acknowledge and surrender to the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what's being offered. That's what gives you encouragement. That's what enables you to go on. You're going to have a lot of sorrow in this life. Job said it best, a man's days are few and full of trouble. But in the next, there is something so wonderful that even in man's mind, we cannot retain it. For eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither can the heart comprehend, can't even receive the great things which God has prepared for them that love him. There's such a great thing that's coming for us, such a great place, such a wondrous place. But you got to acknowledge the invitation. You got to say yes, because if you don't say yes, you're not going to that wedding, the wedding of the Lamb. Don't be that person. Don't be that person that rejects it. Don't be that person that lives in sorrow, in grief, and in sadness. Don't be that person. Be the one that says yes, so that you can be a part of the great wedding feast, that you can be a part of the great celebration. Oh, life is much more than this 60, 70, 80, 90 years. It's eternity on the line. And if you've already said yes, rest in the comfort. Rest in that place. Rest in that goodness. That all is well. And even on this side, if it's hard, on the other side, it's glorious.
Sometimes
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. So get ready. This is a tough trivia question. Sorry. Got to do them sometimes. They got to get a little tougher. Those are a little easier. These are a little tougher. Here we go. So Israel was divided into two different groups, okay? The Jeroboam was the king, and then Israel had 12 tribes and was divided into two different groups, okay? What was the southern division of the kingdom of Israel called? So I'm going to give you three choices, and you got to listen because this will be fully connected to the next trivia question, which is my polite way of saying, don't give more than just the answer I'm looking for. Thank you, please. What was the southern division of the kingdom of Israel called? Is it Israel, Ephraim, or Judah? Is it Israel, Ephraim, or Judah? Okay. And Al wants everybody to know it's Texas. No, I'm kidding. Only on this show.
And I was going to say, too, Dave, if you call and you don't get through, definitely give us a call back.
Right. If you call and it doesn't get through, just try again. You know, it's one of those things. It's their phones. I know that's hard to believe, but they don't always work perfectly. At least that's what I figured out. What we will do is, if somebody's calling in, is we'll put them on hold because we want to also send you up to the website. But that's the question, so I want you to understand what's going on. The southern division of the kingdom of Israel, so it was divided. What was the southern division called? Was it called Israel? Was it called Ephraim? Or was it called Judah? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. I want to send you up to the website, and the reason we want to do that is there is a great opportunity to give because we need it. See why that's a great opportunity to do it? It's a great opportunity to do it because we need it. Because less than a week from now is Radio Rent, and every time Radio Rent comes around, my teeth start a-chattering. So if you can give, that would be awesome. If you can't, it's totally okay. But if you can partner, step up and partner. We'd love that. We promise we'll give you a receipt at the end of the year, but we're more interested in having all of this be great investments in the kingdom of God. Here's the passage, 2 Corinthians 8:3. I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. So if you can financially contribute, there's a big button on the website that says donate. That's the one to use. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Sometimes you just got to laugh and just go, okay, sure. Somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. I'm liking our show today. I'm just liking the different directions it's going. Sometimes I kind of get stuck in my own, like, rut. So I like things when they go a little different. So I appreciate you asking me that, though. Thank you for that. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm praying. I keep praying to get better.
I understand. It's totally all right. All right, let's do this triv. Let's pray for you. But let's do the triv first. There was the southern tribe. There was the northern tribe. What was the southern tribe of Israel? What were they called? Was it Israel, Ephraim, or Judah?
It was Judah.
That is correct, Amundo! You are right, sir.
And Jerusalem was the capital.
Yep. All right. Can't give any more info, though, because the next question is going to build on it. That's why I got to tell you that. You see, it all works together somehow. I just don't know how yet. Let's pray for you, my brother. Let's pray.
Okay.
Father, we come before you right now. I love it when Gary calls. I am asking you. He sounds good, but I'd like him to sound a whole lot better. And he's just got to have healing. There's nothing else. We're not asking for anything. Just bring healing into his physical body in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. Just release into his body the healing power that comes from you. We believe, Lord, but at times we function in unbelief. You know what? Help our unbelief. Let our faith be strong enough to move the mountain. and let him find that healing power that comes in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Bring healing for our brother. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, bro. Love you, man.
And I'll continue to pray for all of you. I've been praying for you, and I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, bro. We appreciate that.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Now, I don't know if we're going to be able to do a break on this last one. I haven't yet decided because we are so...
We're void of word.
We're,
right
we're
now,
only behind 40 minutes. Okay. We're only behind 40 minutes. Okay. All right. Just leave me alone. Galatians chapter 3, 40 minutes. I don't think we've ever been this far behind. Verse 15. Dear brothers and sisters, here's an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. God gave the promise to Abraham and his child. Notice it doesn't say the promise was to his children, as it meant many descendants, but the promise was to his child, and that is, of course, Jesus Christ. This is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God would be breaking his promise then. For if the inheritance could be received only by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God gave it to Abraham as a promise. Well then, why was the law given? See, that's the great question. Well, then what was the law for? It was given to show people how guilty they are. But this system of law was to last only until the coming of the child to whom God's promise was made. Whoa, you know, this is a book. You can do a whole book on this. So let's just go through this just so we can kind of be on the same page, okay? God gave Abraham an irrevocable agreement. We call that a promise. Now, I'm not sure if you and I are always on the same page on stuff that I talk about, but an irrevocable agreement is something that cannot be changed. Okay? That's why it is called irrevocable. God made a promise, and his promise is as irrevocable as he is, so to speak. His word is steadfast. It doesn't move. And so what we know in Scripture is that God gave promises throughout Scripture. Some of those promises were irrevocable, and guess what? Some of those promises were conditional. But in Abraham's case, it was irrevocable. In other words, God didn't say to Abraham, you know, well, maybe we'll see if you do this. And it's like, this is what we're doing. Okay, so that's what's going to happen. What's amazing is that he gave this irrevocable promise. And the first argument Paul uses in this is it's like a will. Now, I understand because of the greediness of people and how things go that after somebody dies, there's always these challenges and so on and so forth. But Paul is talking about in the general premise of law, when a will is given, it is like that is the desire of the person who died and you can't change it. This is, well, today, today's society is full of sin, so you can't really use that as a direct connect. What you can use is the simplicity that a person who has left a will and then passes on, their desires are expressed in the will, and that's what's going to take place. And so Paul uses that as the comparison. But what he also does is he brings in a fascinating discussion, a fascinating argument, so to speak. And he says this, and I love this, and it's amazing that I'm just going through it, but just listen to what he says. He says, in this argument, it's like God gave Abraham this promise. Now listen, 430 years prior. Now, I think we read that and we think Bible, old people live a long time. Well, Abraham did live to 175, so that's fair to say he did live a long time. But 430 years is a long time. How long is it? It's longer than this country's been around. You know, you understand what it's like, wow, that's like a long, yeah. That's a really long time. And in that 430 years, what God is making sure is that, look, I made a promise. It was to Abraham. it was 430 years before the law. The law, which came 430 years later, does not end the promise. You think, but the whole system and the whole thing and the old covenant and da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. This is where we got to do, maybe we all need to do a little better. Not me, all of us, just every all of us together. What God allowed after that promise does not undo the promise. The promise is, wait, irrevocable. There's nothing that's going to change the promise. And the law came about to actually assist in understanding the promise. Well, how does it assist us? Well, the way that it brings assist to us, or the way that it helps us, is to show us through the law how guilty we are and why we need the promise of God and why we need the new covenant established through Jesus Christ. Remember, it says this system of law was to last only until the coming of the child of whom God's promise was made. We needed the law to take us there. We needed the law to be the tutor to say, you guys need a lot of help, and you cannot help yourself. I'm going to have to help you at both ends. An agreement has two different ends. An agreement with God had the end of God's side, and then in the Old Testament, it had the human side. In order to fulfill Abraham's promise, God had to take up Abraham's side, so to speak, as well as his own side, and cover both ends. That is something the law did not do, and the law could not do. It could not cover both sides, because the law was given for man to respond. But the covenant of grace and mercy, God covers both sides, so it's steadfast and sure. There will never be a third covenant. Listen to that. There will never be a third covenant. There is only the old and the new. And the old, as the book of Hebrews says, is perishing. I mean, it's almost met its end. And the new never ceases. The purpose of the old was help us to understand we needed the new. And that covenant is what that irrevocable promise, the new covenant, is the irrevocable promise manifested. That is some deep, deep, deep thinking. Yes, you're like going, wait, my brain hurts. That's okay. Here's what it really is. Ready? I'm going to say it. I'm just going to say it. Philippians 1:6. I'm just going to quote it. Being confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. That's what it is. You participate. You're as about in charge as you are in the weather. Yeah. Okay, just thought I'd point that out to you. We will take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Your break will be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually having a wonderful day. And you know, every once in a while, you get some extra time in with the Lord, and you just think, man, I can't wait to hear that trumpet. I just can't wait.
Yeah.
I just
can't wait. What's going on? Huh? Yeah. You want to know the answer,
I guess. I do. And so this is a good one. How many times did the boy who Elisha raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze?
Seven.
That is correct, sir. You are right. A little unknown fact from a lot of people that they might not be aware of is that actually he, so after Elisha stretched himself out, the child sneezed seven times, and then the child opened his eyes, which means that he sneezed those seven times without his eyes open, which is like, wow, that's bizarre. It's like, how do you do that?
I just thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's like, how would you do, I mean, how do you, I mean, my eyes go in the back of my head when I sneeze. I just don't know how that happens.
Didn't he lie prostrate across
him? Yes, correct. That is exactly what he did.
I thought, okay, if he was sneezing, was he sneezing in Elijah's face?
That's an excellent question. I do not have that answer, but you have to sit there and wonder.
We'll have to find that one out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the prophets went through a lot, although that could be a tough one. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent answer. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Right. We roll. That's a great question that he sneezed in his face. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Got to speed it up for our last trivia question. So we just heard about the Southern Division and essentially the Northern Division of the Kingdom of Israel. So, you know, you had Israel was the Northern tribe and Judah was the Southern tribe. Okay, there was 12 tribes under Jeroboam. They split 10 and 2. The two tribes were the southern, Judah, and the northern was called Israel, and that's the other 10. Here's your question. Hezekiah, Josiah, and Joash were the kings of which? Israel or Judah? Which Hezekiah, Josiah, and Joash were the kings of which nation or which division, Israel or Judah? That's your trivia question. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. That's our trivia question. I'm just going to do history real fast, and then I got one little blip to close it out on. So
let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, Deb would have to help me out on this, but today is Take Your Cat to the Vet Day. I don't know, did you have a day? It's like, this is a good day to take the cat to the vet. It's like, are you kidding? I mean, taking the dogs to the vet's like a circus.
Right.
I don't know. All right. It's a National Eat a Peach Day.
Sorry about that.
That's good. Good right there. National Tooth Fairy Day. Okay. Everybody who's being legalistic about it, relax. Okay. You tell the kids the truth. It's fine. After you give them a dollar. Also, today in 1815, the first yacht, America, wins the first America's Cup that ever took place.
Wow.
That was a long time ago. 1901 on this day, the auto company Cadillac is founded. Wow. And finally, 1989, Nolan Ryan gets his 5,000th strikeout.
That's just a lot of strikeouts. Sorry. All right, somebody's ready to answer the trivia question. Is that right? Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Fred. How are you today?
Good. I need you to turn down your radio, though. Turn down the radio. All the way, all the way, all the way, all the way, all the way. All right. Got it? There you go. All right. Here we go, bro. Ready?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Can you turn on your radio a little more and maybe put up the windows just a little? I hate to have them do that. That's terrible. It's just a little noisy. That's all right.
Maybe my oven. Okay, let me test. Hockey in Texas. Let me turn it off. Wait. For the time being.
Might have been his air conditioner.
Okay. All right, here we go. I'll do it fast for you. Hezekiah, Josiah, Joash, were they from the kings of Israel or Judah?
They were of the southern kingdom.
That is correct, Amanda! And that would be Judah! Right you are, brother.
All right, God bless you. Yesterday, I guess it was, I'm so sorry. I think that would take a very limited time to try to explain all of that. But I appreciate what you said, and I agree with you 100%.
I appreciate that, brother. Thank you so much for saying that. I do appreciate that.
All right, God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right. Let me give you one last quick word. This is in my devotions today. I really like this. This is a kind of a semi-not cheery note to send you off on, but it's cheery a little. This is just in my devotions. Let me just read it. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "Behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which were fulfilled in their will be fulfilled in their own time." So when Zacharias didn't believe the angel got a little irritated. You can say whatever you want. The angel got irritated, right? Remember, and even the way he said it, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." It's like, uh-oh, right? So he goes, "You're not going to be able to talk because you didn't believe my word." Now, God sent a message, and it was a message from God to Zacharias from Gabriel, the chief messenger angel. Here's my admonition. When you're reading the word of God, believe it, because that is the way to please the Lord. Get it? Believe it. Get it? All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.